Okay, guys, so what I want to do is at least start the Gemara on Daf Yud. This is an amazing Agarata, which discusses Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu. It really is. It is wonderful. We all agree on this. So if you look at it's towards the end of Yudam and Aleph in the Gemara, right? So the guys in Rav Ashi, sure, you did it today. So even better. Amar Rav Hamnuna, my dechtiv mi kechacham umi yodea pesha davar. What does it mean when it says, so the Gemara here is telling the story about Chizkiyahu getting sick. In that context, the Gemara says, what does it mean when the Pasuk says, who is like the wine man and who knows the pesher davar? Which could mean interpretation, but it, as you'll see in the Gemara says, it plays on pshara. Mi kakadosh baruch hu shodeh lasot pshara ben shnei tzadikim. Who is as great as God, who knows that to make compromise between two righteous people, min Chizkiyahu le Yeshayahu, between the king Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu. So if anyone knows it, what? Are you in Rav Ashi's here? Then you did do it today. Very good. Okay, so Chizkiyahu. Who's Chizkiyahu? He's not just the Melech of Yisrael. He is in all of Tanakh, there are only a handful of decent kings and an even smaller handful of good kings. Chizkiyahu is one of those, right? He is a superhero, right? His story is so great that we hear it three times in its entirety in Tanakh. Okay? It takes, if I remember correctly, it takes four prakim to tell the story in Malachim, four prakim to tell the story in Yeshayahu, and six prakim to tell the story in Devarayam and Mamashu Gazet. Three times. Chizkiyahu is awesome. Like, the entire story of his life is retold in its full, entirely, in Malachim, in Yeshayahu, in Devarayamim, and then in short, by Lord Byron.
Ooh, is there any?
Yes, the romantic poet Lord Byron was enamored with Chizkiyahu and wrote. What?
No way. Yeah, Lord Byron. Is he Lord Byron Shelley?
Lord Byron, like the poet.
The poet. No, I know.
George Gordon Byron. It's on his poem about. You know, it's a great poem. No.
Wait, is there anyone else?
This destruction of Sennacherib.
Percy Bysshe Shelley, but they were very good friends with Byron.
Anyways, them, okay? Yalla. What? No! Nobody is this awesome in Tanakh. Chizkiyahu is awesome, okay? You gotta understand that. When we understand this story, you gotta realize that, okay? So Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu, also, you know, important person. Trivia fact that at least some years gets on the, what's it called? The Hanukkah, what's it called? Sklar, help me. The thing they do. What do they do? Thank you. The scavenger hunt. The scavenger hunt. There we go. The scavenger hunt. So I usually send the hard questions, very hard questions that Ray Ginsburg like cuts out and maybe gets like two in, right? But sometimes they're easy questions like, right, which Sefer in Tanakh, right, has the most number of haftarot. It's a quarter of all haftarot from it, which is obviously Yeshayahu. Right, Yeshayahu is also awesome. Right, so Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu. What happened? So the Gemara tells the story of Chizkiyahu getting sick. Chizkiyahu is sick, and he's, you know, Yeshayahu is his navi. So Chizkiyahu amar leiti Yeshayahu gaboy. Chizkiyahu says, "I'm right." Chizkiyahu, he's not sick yet. He will be sick in a second. Right. Let Yeshayahu come to me. Because Eliyahu came to Achav, which shows that the Navi has to come to the king. What? Yes, this is all the Gemara. Yeshayahu Amar. Yeshayahu says, no. Leiti Chizkiyahu Gaboy. Dachi Ashkan Bioram ben Achav. Bioram ben Achav. Da'azel Gabi Elisha. Yehoram, the son of Ahab, he went to Elisha when he needed to talk to him. So you see that the king goes to the Navi. Yeah, no, so they're refusing to visit each other. Yes. So Ma Asa Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So what did God do? Hevi Yisurim Al Chizkiyahu. Yes, he made Chizkiyahu ill. Va'amar lo Yishayahu, and he told Yishayahu, Lech uvaker et achole. Go visit the sick one, to Chizkiyahu. Shneamar bayamim ha'im chalach Chizkiyahu lamut. And those days, Chizkiyahu came close to death. Vayavo elav Yeshua ben Amoz hanavi. Vayom elav kolmar Hashem tzvakot. Tzav leveitecha kimot. Leveitecha kimot ata velo tichyeh. Thou shalt die and not live. My kimet ata velo tichyeh. The Gemara says, well, what does that mean? What? What? No. The Gemara is saying, who knows how to make a pesher, a compromise, right? God. So what he did was he made Chizkiyahu sick.
But isn't getting sick worse than
Let's read the Gemara first, and then let's try to understand it. Fine. My ki meida tavelo tichia. What is the double language? Meida tavelo mazev lo tichia lomba. You'll die in this world and the next world. What? What are you trying? So Amar Le, he said, my kulei hai. What did I do that was so bad, right? That I'm going to lose this world and the next. He says, Mishim de la asakta befiria barivya. Because you didn't have children. Or you weren't involved in procreation, more precisely. Amar Le. So Chizkiyahu said, aha. Mishim de chazoy de baruch hakodesh, dinafti minai benin lo malu. Now that's like the understatement of the millennium. I saw that I'm going to have kids that are not great. Now his son is Menashe. Menashe is, how do we say this nicely, the worst human being mentioned in all of Tanakh. What? Yeah, basically, yeah. Only in Divrei Yamim and not in Melachim, or yes. But maybe, but, you know, he's among those lists of people of Nochiluk and Olam Haba, according to Gemara, you know, according to the Mishnah. What? Okay, he's in the top five, okay? But just remember that he is the person who is responsible for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Yes, that's what the Gemara says. But in the meantime, he is the reason Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. He's bad. Right? He's very bad. Okay? We can have a competition of who's worse, but like he's bad. He's in that list of people who have no chelek and olam haba. He doesn't get it in that list. He's not in that list. Menashe is in that list.
Wait, who else is in that list?
So it's the beginning of chelek. Right, there's the list of kings, not kings. Right, so people who get in that list. You have Achaz, you have Bilam. Right, this like it's not a great list. Okay, what? Last paragraph. So Amar Le. So he said to him. So Yishayahu said to him, "Bahade kivshe derachman alam alach, ma'ide mifkedet iboylach lemebar u'ma'ide nicha kamei kucha brichu le'avet." I need a little bit of air, and hopefully it won't be too loud. But I need some air. Oh my God, so hot. How it gets so hot in this room, I don't know. What? Oh, yeah, that could be part of it. It's fine. I have the window open, it's fine. And I'm plugged in. Okay. So he says to him, with these secrets of God, why are you, what are you involved with? What you are commanded, you gotta do. And what God wants to do, he'll do. Amar Le, he says, okay, fine. I'll buy it. Hashta havli vratach. So, fine, let me marry your daughter. Efshar did grama dzvuta didach v'nafka min abinin demalu. And maybe we combine our merits, my son won't be so bad. Amar Le, far nigzra alecho gzera. He says, no, it's been decreed. Amar Le, he says to him in very respectful language, Ben Amotz, right, son of Amotz. Stop prophesying and leave. Okay? Shut up. Kach mikublani mibir avi abba, the Misura I have from my father's house, meaning from David HaMelech. Afilu cherev chada munachar al tzavaro shel adam al yimna atzmo min harachamim. Even if a sword is on your neck, you should not hold yourself back from davening. Itmar nami, Rabbi Yochanan relazer davri chavai, afilu cherev chada munachar al tzavaro shel adam al yimna atzmo min harachamim, shenemarin kileinu lo yachel. Amar of Chanan, Apil Bal Chalomot, Amar Lo Adam. Even if an angel in a dream tells you that the next day you're going to die, Lamachu Mein Al Yim Natsman Arachamim, don't hold yourself back from davening. Shneamar Kibur Chalomot Bahalav Avalim Udvarim Arbe Ki Edolim Yira. Miyad, immediately what happened, Vayaseh Chizkiyo Panav El Akir Vayitpalel El Hashem. So Chizkiyo turned to the wall and Davin. My Kir, what's the wall? Amar Rishim Ben Lakish, Mikirot Libo, the walls of his heart. Shenamar, may I, Ochilo Kirot Libi, the Gomer. Quoting Pasuk Yirmiyahu, my anguish, am I in pain in the chambers of my heart. Rabbi Levi Amar Al Iske Hakir. It was about matters of the wall. Amar Lefan Rabbanu Shalom, he said, God, Umashim Shunamit. If the Isha Shunamit, who is the Isha Shunamit?
The woman who put up the Elisha.
Good. The woman who put up Elisha and made a little attic for him. Shlo Asta El Akira Chaktana. She made a little room for right, one little wall for Elisha to have space. And in that merit, Hachiyeta Et Bena, you brought her son back to life. Avi Abba, my father's father, Shechipa Rechal Kulo Bekesev Zahava, Achkam Gavah. You know, I'm a Davidic king. We built the Beit HaMikdash, man. Right? God. We built the Beit HaMikdash, God. Right? Zecharna, En Asher Et Alach Tavanech HaBemet HaVelev Shalem, Ato Benech HaSita. You know, I also was sort of righteous, you know? I mean, he's sort of desperate. He's dying. I don't know. So he says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shesamach Kulu Tzvila." The great thing he did was that he was so much Kulu Tzvila. Rabbi Levish, Omer Shagon of Sefer Refuot. He hid the Sefer Refuot. Okay, we're going to come back to some of this Gemara. Okay, there's more to this Gemara, but in the meantime, okay, methodologically, okay. What is the first thing you need to do when you see this Agadah?
Throw it in the trash.
No. What is the first thing you need to do with this Agadah? What? What is the first thing you need to do in this Agadah? I didn't. Who said problematic? What is the first thing you need to do?
The central issue of can you do what you know will be bad?
There's something more basic here. What? Come on. Yeah, okay, let's keep pushing it.
Did it actually happen?
Something you got to do more than that.
Does that have to do with Chizkiyahu?
Yeah, what about Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu? You need to look. Remember, this is talking about a story that happens in Tanakh. The first thing you need to do is realize that this story is commenting on an actual. Remember what I told you about Chizkiyahu? Chizkiyahu, his life is explained in excruciating detail in three svarim. So look at the story in Tanakh before you figure out what's going on in the Gemara. I didn't say problem, but if you want to understand the Gemara, you need to say, what is it commenting on, right? This is not sometimes the Midrash tells you a story that's not in Tanakh. This is the opposite problem. There is a story in Tanakh, and guess what? This is not it. Right? This is shockingly not it, right? I give you one, okay? Here's the one in Yeshayahu, okay? I could have given you others. Bayamim haheim chala chizkiyahu lamut. Vayavo elav Yeshayahu ben amot sanavi vayomer elav komar adonai. Tzav levetcha kimetata velo tichye. Remember that pasuk that started out the Agadata? Right? Great. Vayasev Chizkiyahu Panav El Hakir. Vayitpalel El Adonai. Vayomer Ana Adonai Zacharna et Asher Talachti Levenecha Behemet Uvelev Shalem Vato Venech Asiti. Vayev Chizkiyahu Bechi Gadol. So far everything here is, the Gemara is just elaborating. Right? But there's a lot more going on here, because it continues. God says to Yeshayahu, Haloch v'amartel Chizkiyahu. Go tell Chizkiyahu, Ko amar Adonai Elohei David Avicha. Shamati et tvilatecha, ra'iti et imatecha, hineni yosif al yamecha chameshes v'shana. I heard your prayer, I'm going to do 15 years. Umikaf melech ashur atzilecha, atzilcha v'ir azot, v'ganoti al ir azot. Right? And I'm going to save you from Ashur, from Assyria. And I'll protect this city. And this is the sign, right? Now, if you thought the story here was weird, I mean, the story is quite is more radical in Tanakh, right? Which is Hinini meshiv et sail hamalot asher yardav maalot achaz b'shemesh achoranit eser maalot v'tashav hashemesh eser maalot b'maalot asher yardav. What does that mean? You know the time, the sundial? It's going to go backwards. The sun is going to go back 10 degrees in the sky. I'm just going to reverse the sun, right? Meaning, if I had to ask you, like, which one is the Midrash, which one is the, right? It's all like, the Psukim and Tanakh are like pretty radical as they are. Michtav lechizkiyo melech Yehuda bechaloto vahi mechalyo. Here's the letter to Chizkiyahu. Ani amarti bidmi yamai elecha b'sharei sha'ol v'kati yeter shnotai amarti lorel ya be'eretz ha'chayim lo abit adam odim yishrecha adal dori nisa v'neglam minik oel ro'i ki badari choreg chayai midala yivatzeini miyom v'yad laila tashlimeni shiviti ad boker k'ari keini shaber kol tzvodai miyom ad laila tashlimeni. It goes on, right? This is, you know. Yes. Right? And he prays to God, save me. Right, okay. So, what we have here is an amazing story that's going on in Tanakh, right? And then, right, meaning, it's like, this story sounds like, oh, it's amazing, right? But like, also, what's like conspicuously missing from the story in Tanakh, which again, is detailed three times in Tanakh? First of all, the whole discussion, but also, forget even the discussion. What else is missing? Yeshayahu is there, but like, is there any hint? Miracles, just for the sake of miracles, you know. Yes. But what else do you not have in this story? Well, obviously, right? We have none of that, but also, right, what was the proximate cause of this entire... Well, so that he does have. He's sick, right? But remember, that's not the framing in our story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in our story, in the story in the Gemara, Chizkiyo becoming sick is the solution to a standoff between Yishkayahu and Chizkiyo. In the Psukim, what evidence do you have there's any tension between the most awesome king, arguably, since David, right? With the only possible exception of Yoshiyahu, right? Right after David, there are only two good kings. No, there are only two really good kings. Yoshiyahu and Chizkiyahu. That's it. Nobody else. Nobody. What? Many. Yeah, until he worshipped Avodah Zarah to the point where the Gemara has a machloket whether he has a chelik in Olam Haba. Shlomo is like, you know, awesome until he's really not. Like, no, don't get me wrong. Shlomo builds the Beit HaMikdash. It's great. And then, according to the simple Pshat, the Psukim worships Avodah Zarah. And according to Chazal, allows his 1,000 wives to worship Avodah Zarah and establish by the Avodah Zarah Yerushalayim. You know? Okay. Whatever. Again, the Gemara has a machloket where they answer the Chelek and Olam Haba. I'm not saying Shlomo isn't great. I'm saying that the only two kings after David, who Tanakh is pretty much, you know, woo! Is it Yoshiyahu and Chizkiyahu? That's about it. There's a few others that they tolerate, like Asa. Okay? There's like a few that they tolerate. And like Yehoshaphat. But like most kings in Malachim are yeah. Meaning there are four types of kings. There are four types of kings. Tova Ganzel once did this very simply, right? There are four types of kings in Malachim. Okay? There's really bad, which are people who either worship Avodah Zarah or increase the amount of Avodah Zarah that's worshipped, right? Then there's the a little bit less bad who don't introduce new Avodah Zarah, but continue the Avodah Zarah that Yeravam, right? The limb of Yeravam, which may or may not be actual Avodah Zarah from the beginning of his period of Melech Yisrael. Then there's awesome, right? And then there's worship God, but didn't get rid of the bumot. Okay? Those are like, okay. Okay? Most kings are either really bad, most kings are really bad or bad. The only kings that unequivocally get in the good camp, the only ones, are David, Yoshiyahu, and Chizkiyahu, and maybe Shlomo, but Shlomo starts with the Beit HaMikdash and ends with the Avodah Zarah. The Psukim say he worshipped Avodah Zarah. Yeah, no, but you understand. The Psukim say he worshipped Avodah Zarah. So even if he didn't, that means that Tanakh wanted you to think he worshipped Avodah Zarah. So like, Shlomo is questionable. Yes, and then, again, three, possibly four, but Shlomo is a question mark, okay? What? Shaul? You mean the one that God despised and sent out? That one? 2 years the guy, he lasted. 2 years. Who, what? Which one? The one who was for 7 days? Zimri? Zimri, I think is his name. Right? 7 day king? Yeah, no, that wasn't great. Then there's like, there's terrible. Now, by the way, who is at the absolute bottom of the bad list? Menashe. Right, bad. I mean, what? Well, there's Achaz also. Meaning, there's Chizkiah's father and son are at the bottom of the list. Achaz and Menashe. No, no, it's, okay, there's Menashe and like Achaz, Achav over here. The only person who possibly ever competes with Menashe is Izebel. For, not even Achav, is Izebel, right? Yeah, Atalia's pretty bad. She only murders all of her sons and stepsons.
Nice.
Except for one. Only. What? Mostly murder.
Okay.
Mostly murder.
So it's
primarily murder. I mean, he didn't kill his sons. At all. Yeah, not great. Yeah, but then when she, you know, and then when they save one son and make him king, all she can say is, Kesher Kasher, you rebelled against me, really. That's how you interpret this story. Okay, fine. I mean, whatever, what can you do? Then they kill her. Yeah, Atalia's not great either. It's not a great book in terms of good people. You know, it's just not. Yeah, okay. Great times. But what don't you have at all? Right, remember, but it's not just you don't have this dialogue. Of course you don't have the dialogue. But you also don't have the conflict. Right? You don't have the conflict that leads to the entire Gemara.
I mean, if you just were to read the Sukkim itself, you wouldn't see anything.
I know, but it's just like, it's like, it's crazy. It's very...
I'm writing ideas, but I don't want to write about Sukkim.
That's fine. Okay.
So Sukkim just gives out on the beginning, and also the part where it tells him to get out, and then starts stopping. Like, everything until it starts stopping.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's, it's, you know, there's...
Like, it could be more
non, like,
it feels like there's censored. Yeah, like, it doesn't feel like there's any mention at all.
Right? So, again, so if we go through it, so wait, 1 second, so if we go through it, what elements do appear in both stories? Chizkiah's illness and God's command to tell him that he's dying. Chizkiah turning to the wall to pray, right? And the content of his prayer, right? But there are some differences. So first of all, right, we have all the additions of what this wall is, right, which we'll have to come back to. Right, there is, right, none of this dialogue between the king and prophet, right, between Chizkiah and Yeshua, none of it, right?
Hashem didn't settle the thing, like, it doesn't say why he got saved, it just says he was saved.
Right, and in the end of the day, right, this whole Gemara, how much of the story does it comment on? It's a long story.
Very long.
Three psukim. Right? It's a detailed elaboration on the first three psukim. Right? That's it. Right? Yes. Right? Yes. Right? It's quoting it. It's these, right? It's an elaboration on it, but it adds so much, right? This adversarial nature, which forces, right? So right off the bat, right? So Kobe said, well, what's the problem with the Agadata? So right at the, sure, if,
the story sounds fine.
Right, sure, if none of you know Tanakh, so that you're like, oh yeah, this definitely happened, right? Or whatever. Until you like read the story in Tanakh, you're like, what motivated Chazal, right? The first question you gotta ask is why? Why? Yes, and guess what? On every Midrash, you have to ask this question. Kobe, you're not solving it.
Well,
your solution, this is, yes!
Yeah, of course we're supposed to ask it all.
Yes, but this one's in Brachot. And you're learning Brachot. You're right. And guess what? I've been teaching Agadata here every week. And this is my fourth year. I do this every year on every Masechet that you guys are learning. I've been doing this for 4 years, okay? Yes, but this year you're doing Brachot. And guess what? I'm spoiled because there are a lot of Agadotot in Brachot. Okay? There are not so many in Shviat Yerushalmi, right? I have already taught two of them, and I will teach another one this year, right? There is another one. It is a famous one, right? The story of Rav Shimon bar Yochai in the cave. The Yerushalmi's version, Yerushalmi's version is in Shviat, right? But yes, what Kobe says is a kasha. What Kobe says is a kasha on me is in fact my entire point. Is that yes, the first thing you have to do is realize that this story is commenting on a biblical text, right? An awesome text. Right, well, barely commenting it, but yes, right? And is telling a completely, right, different story. So you do have to ask, what exactly is it doing, right? Now, it may just be that what you have to just say is, it's not, right? It's not responding to a particular issue. It is telling, it's using this as a jumping off point to tell another story through this lens, right? Meaning sometimes, right? Meaning sometimes Midrashim fill in gaps. Here, it's not clear how much of a gap there was that needed to fill. It's as if they create the gap, right? So it's not totally clear, right, if they're trying to do that. But at any rate, you need to at least have Tanakh, right, in the background, because otherwise, right, you're like, right, you just got to understand, like, what is, right, the Gemara is going out of its way to tell quite an elaborate story in a story which is already quite elaborate, right? Correct, because why? That's on the point of the story, right? But the story in Chazal is very different. Now, it could be that by the end we'll see where it comes from, or it could be we won't, right? But at least you need to acknowledge this, right? You need to be aware. Oh, well, that's obviously one of the gaps that Chazal are filling in, right? Good. So obviously part of, right, good. So part of it is exactly what Kobe says, right? Part of it is clearly that what's going on is Chizkel is awesome, right? Like, so why is he sick, right? Meaning at some level, yes. One of the classic things that Midrash always tries to do is fill in the gaps and ask the obvious questions. The answer, right, one of the questions you got to ask here is, well, Chizkio is superhero, right? He's a superhero, so why is he sick?
Wait, what was the exact words of the three-line Tanakh?
You take a source sheet, it's this whole perek. I gave you the perek.
Does it mention
anything about his kids there? No, not really.
You know how to do an Avera to save the rest of, like, because he wanted to do an Avera by not doing Peru or Yuva, but he was, like, sacrificing himself in order to save the rest of Kali Yisrael, right?
That's so
it's a really hard thing to say. Like, there's a lot of commentaries on Yehuda also kind of did something similar, right? Where he was like, I've sacrificed my whole Haba to bring back your Yaman.
So, yeah, I mean, you're thinking more a different story, but okay. I mean, you're thinking more the story of Esther, as it's told by the Gemara and Megillat Tetvav, and it's elaborated, and Menot Yehuda, Shuva Reish Yud, and of course Yaakov. I just told you sources, go look them. I don't know. What?
All of this goes to and his reaction of crying, and then Hashem's response. What's the
sources? I'll give you the sources afterwards. Why is this not charging right? Okay. Anyways.
All of this conversation with Hashem seems to only be about him. Like, it doesn't seem to have.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about his kids. Like, this whole thing is. Okay. Fine. Okay. But with that background, let's start going into the story, see what we can get. Okay, yes.
Is there any discussion about whether this was added?
What do you mean? Like, this story was not in Tanakh and they took it out. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like, was it removed from Tanakh? Like,
no. Okay, so we got to figure out what Chazal are trying to do to figure out, like, are they getting it from a cue in the text, right? Or are they using this as a jumping up point to tell a story? We gotta see what we can do with it, okay?
That's what I mean. Like, was it omitted and like pulled over? And, like,
okay.
Or
So, okay, so let's see what we can get out of this. Okay, let's see what we can do. Okay, first of all, let's try to get into a little bit of the details here. Okay. So background to this story, right? Once we figure out somehow, right, somehow Chazal come up with the idea that this is starting out with a dispute about who should visit who, right? Which, as we'll see, right, is going to be the cue for people like Griff Cook to say that this story is really about Chazal presenting two models of leadership that are in inherent conflict, right? And that's what they're really getting at, right? We're going to come to that. But it starts off, okay, and Yeshayahu comes, right, as it appears in Tanakh, right? Yeshayahu comes and says you're going to die. What Chazal add to that is, and there's nothing you can do about it, right? Now, the Gemara, the drama is captured in one phrase, okay? Which is, Nigzira Gzera. Right? Right? It has already been decreed. Right? Because the main drama, once you get past the fact that Yeshayahu and Yechezkel don't want to see each other, is that there's the assumption, well, let's see, that Nigzira Gzera, that whatever is going to happen is a fait accompli, right? And somehow they're trying to reverse it. There is a subtlety, though, that very much will change the message of the story. What Gzera? There are two potential Gzerot. What are the potential Gzerot? So Eli insists, like Rashi, that the Gzera, as it is in the Psukim, is on his death. Who says that in one word? Rashi. Shetamut. Right? The Gzera is, thou shalt die. Right? And the Marsha says, what's the proof? Now, if you'd ask me, what's the proof? That the proof is that that the Gemara is commenting on the story in Tanakh, right? And it's clear that the decree in the story in Tanakh is about his death.
And Hashem adds time onto his life.
Right, exactly. Meaning the drama in the Psukim is that he was supposed to die, he davens, and then he doesn't die. Right? So the Gemara adds details, but fundamentally, that seems to be the Gzera that it's trying to do, right?
I'll save you from all these other things that we're going to kill you.
Right. So Marsha defends Rashi, or explains Rashi, and he says, Perish Rashi Shetamut, Adkan Loshono. Now, why does the Marsha bother commenting? Right? So this is something that the Chachmei Svard were very into. The Chachmei Svard had this idea, and you'll see this sometimes, but you have to understand what they mean. Sometimes you'll find this in, like, right, what was called, this is a very important word in, like, the Ritva, like that, which is nishmar. What's nishmar? When they say that. Yeah, they guarded themselves. So sometimes they'll write, Rashi nishmar mizeh. And what does that mean? Guarded from this. And what does that mean? That he said something that sounds obvious. Because it's not as obvious as you think. Meaning, there's something else you might have thought, and to make it clear that you that wasn't what's going on, right? So Rashi Nishmar Mizeh. So what was the thing that you might have thought? So what's the thing that you might have thought that Rashi is telling you that you're not, you shouldn't think? Probably not, but maybe. Well, what's the other major decree here that's trying to be reversed?
The son.
That his son will be Menashe. Right? Meaning, in the Psukim, the only thing going on is his death. In the Gemara, there are two decrees, right? Right? That are trying to be reversed.
But that's crazy, because it's in the Gemara, the decree about his son is 100%.
Correct, but within the context of the Gemara, what's the Gzera?
But how can you fix that Gzera if he doesn't have a son? If the prophecy of Hizkiyahu or Yeshayahu.
But, right, well, what is he saying to him? He could be saying, you have to have a kid because it's already decreed that you're going to have a son who's a Rasha. There's nothing you can do about it. So stop trying to not have kids. It's not going to help. So let's look, right? So Rashi says, Perish Rashi Shitamud, Adkan Lashonot. So Marsha says, how does he know that that's the Gzera? It's okay. Perish, just sit. Perish leperusho, shetamut mecholi zed, the xera is that he was going to die from this illness. V'yevshar lechalish lisaisha lisfut levanim, and therefore you have no chance now to have children. I'm going to stop you from having children. Aval ein lefaresh dekvar nigzira alecha xera shiulacha benin delomale. You can't say that the xera is that you are going to have bad children. And that the gzera is therefore going on a second line, which is, let me marry your daughter and maybe that'll help. What's his proof? Because the drama is about, right, what is Chizkiyahu's response? You think that it's not gzera, but it's not, because I have misora that what? That even if there's a sword on your right on your throat, so it's clear that the gzera, right, that Yeshayahu thinks is not reversible, but Chizkiyahu knows is reversible is his death. Right, that's how Rashi and the Marsha take it. Right. However, if you look at the Lahorot Natan, okay. Now the Lahorot Natan is modern, right? Rasim Gishtetner. In the Lahorot Natan, he can't deny that it's this at all, but he has a very interesting perspective, okay? He says, V'nir Eli Yashiv. Dine kvar hikshe b'sefer Yarot Dvash. Right, so the Yarot Dvash, Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, already said, Dema heishiv Yishayo l'chizkiyahu b'hadi kivshe d'rachman alamalach. Why did Yishayo tell Chizkiyahu, don't get involved in God's secrets? Meaning, you know that you're supposed to have a rasha, but that's not your problem, that's God's. You have to have kids. Halo bidin ta'an Chizkiyahu, and this comes back to David's point before, which is, he was doing this to save Klal Yisrael, you know, not that Menashe, who like was the reason the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, you know. He said, halo bidin ta'an Chizkiyahu, de'ech yolid banim mashchitim, asher aviyem emechalim ayim shom. He had like a pretty good taina. Right, it's like, he's basically saying, my son is, right, Chizkiyahu is saying, my son is Hitler. Should I have him or not, right?
Yes.
And that's basically what this is, right? What? It's not kill the Hitler baby, it's not have the Hitler baby.
I think this girl was wrong for thinking that he should pray for his son.
Yes, I understand, but that's... But
even the punishment was also meant to stop
him. Oh, okay. Okay. So he says, Ulam Nireh. So Lahorot Natan says, but it seems... He said, listen, what Chizkiyahu saw in his nevuah, in his Ruach HaKodesh, is true. Meaning Menashe was terrible. Umay dechazi, shaper chazi. What he saw was right. He was going to have a son? Not so good. Yeah.
Which
that's what he tries. That's what he does try.
Second of all, once he gave birth to Menashe, he can still dominate after that. So why does the Sohaisa need to do more removal if he has faith that I have
dominated? Okay, you'll see. One second. Hold all the thoughts. Hold it. See, you said there were no problems with Mara. There are. Watch. Shh. Okay. So, wait. So he says, Mikol makom yishivu Yishayo sha'atid hu b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'vad. God said, but Yishayo said, the future is in God's hands. Kamosh calls of Ramban Zal. Bevei mitzvot tamim meshem tamim tia mishal lekechad afagav shemun mokos b'migei dubatido. Right, the Ramban says the mitzvah of tamim tia mishal lekechad. Right, be pure with, be wholesome with God. That God always can control the future. L'dat Ramban yesh b'dvar der mamash. Even though he thinks that you can't go to soothsayers and future fortune tellers, even though he thinks that they have real powers. Right, the Ramban thinks they have power. Kinev Hashem Shorish. Yes, Nachmanides. Mikol makom chayavin olam in shekadosh baruch hu kol yachol biyado l'shanot hatidot. Right, the Ramban says the whole purpose of that mitzvah of tamim tia shem elokecha is that these soothsayers and people actually know the future, but God can change it anyways. V'lechein lo niftach shiavo divrei akos mim al kol panim. V'zeh she'amar lo Yishayahu. So when Yishayahu said to Chizkiyahu, the aval gad to Chizkiyahu roeh bo ruach hakodesh nafki minei benin lo malu. Shayahu was telling him, listen, what you saw is a real nevuah, or Ruach HaKodesh, whatever. But nevertheless, why are you getting involved in God's secrets? Even that which you see in Ruach HaKodesh is not sealed. The future is up to God only. And therefore, maybe he'll change the future. And since the future is the secret of God, so therefore, what you're commanded to do, you should do. Says, because you don't know if it'll happen, because God controls the future. And that's what Yeshayahu says to him. That Chizkiyahu said, give me your daughter. He says, Yeshayahu says, why should I give you my daughter? You are dying. That was a little bit long, but what did he say? He said to him, right now, watch what he did. He flips the Gemara a little bit, and what does he say? Chizkiyahu says, give me your daughter. And what does he say to him?
No,
you're going to die. And Chizkiyahu says, but wait a second. You just told me that God can change the future, right, about my son, so I shouldn't have worried about having kids. But I know that the same is true. Kal vachomer.
His own death.
Right? My own death. Because my death is in the hands of God. So obviously God can change that. I didn't realize that you could also change something that depends on someone with free will, right? Namely, my son. I had a nevuah about my son, right? And I, right?
Oh, that's a hard question.
Right? Right? I didn't know that God could change that, right? Meaning, right? So he says, right?
What? So therefore, it must be that you could have a son.
Well,
if God's, it would be one thing if God just said, you're not going to have any children because I don't want you to, because your son's going to be Russian. But he's even willing to kill his girl before he can
right.
even yeah. have that kid.
Yeah. Right, so, okay, so I'm going to, let me just finish his point and then I'll get to you, right? So, right, so Rav Nosson Gestetner tries to sort of synthesize it. Now, what's going on here is that the Nigzer Gzera is on both, but it switches, right? That basically Chizkiyahu thinks he can't change anything about his kids, and Yeshayahu thinks he can't switch, right? That he, right? Right? And the end of the day, right, what he's saying is that both of them, right, are changeable, right? Now, there's a bit, it's a bit messy, right? There's something, so what it sounds like for him is that Farnik Zer Gzera isn't only on the death, it's like on both, and the Chiddush is that neither of them is a Gzera, right? Neither, both of them could be changed, right? There's a problem, though, right? Because this is a little bit messy. Or a little bit messy. It hides what's in the Gemara even messier. Because if you actually read the Gemara, right? What were you saying, Kobe?
I was saying that, like, the way it seems is that not only does he not want you to have kids, he's also killing you. That's what you should say. He's like, you're going to die. You're not even going to have
kids. Right. Therefore.
So the Sarah. You think the Xera is that you're not going to have a son? Well, it's even worse than that. It's not that you're not going to have a good son. It's that you're not even going to
have a son. Okay, yeah. So let's put it slightly differently. And this is something that Dr. Yonatan Feintel points out in the Gemara. And I think that this is really key to the Gemara. The key to the Gemara is to realize that not exactly what Nosson Gestetner says. It's a little bit not precise enough. The key to this Gemara is that there's a flip in what? In who thinks you can't change the future. Right? Because, right, he notes that this Gemara is really in, that this Gemara is really in a chiasm. What's a chiasm? Chiasm comes from the Greek letter key. What's key? What is it?
Chiasm is That's not what we do in your
country. That's not what. No, chiasm. What's a chiasm? What is it? It comes from the Greek letter key. What's key? It's an X. It's an X. Right? A structure, right? So a structure is basically an ABCBA structure, right? Where the first element and the last element match up,
yeah,
right?
Chiasm.
Yeah, a chiasm. It's a chiasm. The thing is a chiasm, okay? Yeah. So it's a chiastic structure. So he says, right? What's the first, the opening part of their conversation? Chizkiyahu says, why am I being punished so harshly? Okay? The second thing he says is, because you didn't have kids. Right? The third thing he says is, well, I saw my kids going to be terrible. The fourth thing he says is, why are you involved in God's secrets? Right? So then Yeshayahu tells him, give me your daughter, maybe that'll change things. And Yeshayahu says, right? Chizkiyahu says, Yeshayahu, right? And Chizkiyahu says, shut up, get out of here, right? You can change things. Right? There's a very clear chiasm. Why? Because the beginning, the first statement is, why am I dying? Right? And what's the final statement? I'm not going to die. Because you can daven and change it. Right? The second statement is, because you didn't have kids. Right? Right? And, well, you know, I'm going to skip that. The third statement is, right? I didn't have kids because they weren't going to be worthy. What's the response to that? So, C2, right? If you, this is a seven stage. It's A, B, C, right? D, C, C, B, A. Okay? So, A1 is Chizkiyahu says, why am I being punished so harshly? Why am I going to die? And all the way at the end, it's, I'm not going to die. Right? Because I'm going to daven. Right? I have a Masorah that I can change things. The second thing he says to him is, you didn't have kids. Right? Right? Right, right, and right. So he says, let me have kids. And Yeshayahu says, you can't have kids. You're going to die, as you said, right? Which is, you're punishing me for not having kids by making me not have kids, right? Right, right. That's the parallel, which is, let me have kids. And he says, no, you're going to die. You're not going to have kids, right? Which is the parallel. You didn't want to have kids, and now you're not going to have kids, right? The third statement is, because I thought my kids are going to be terrible. And what's the response to that? Give me your daughter, right? And we'll change it. And what's in the middle? Bahani kivshei derachman alam alach. Why are you getting involved in God's secrets? What you're supposed to do, you're commanded to do, and let God do what He wants. Right? Now, often what happens. So often what happens in a chiasm is that so A to A prime, right, teaches you about a change. Right? There's like a change between A and A prime, B and B prime. Right? So, right? So, what, right? So, what happened? Yeah, exactly. But what happens here is fascinating because, right, there's a turn. What happens? Right, what happens in that middle line?
There's no change in that.
No, it flips. Because what happens? Think about what happens. In the first half of the story, who thinks that you should continue to act despite what happens in the future? Yeshayahu. In the second half of the story, who thinks that? Chizkiyahu and not Yeshayahu. Remember? Because in the second half of the story, what happened? Right, Chizkiyahu says, oh, so let me have kids. And Yeshayahu says, you can't change the future. You're going to die. And what does he say? You just said, right? You just said that I have to do what I'm supposed to do, right? You just said that I'm supposed to leave it up to God. So you should also leave it up to God. Let me daven, right? Shah, right? Meaning, in the first half of the story, Chizkiyahu is the one trying to control the future. And the second half of the story, Yeshayahu learned from Chizkiyahu that what? You shouldn't try to control the future. And then what does he do? He turns back to Yeshayahu and says, didn't you learn your own lesson? Right? Right? Do you see what happened? Right? In the flip.
Yeshayahu believes you can change the future at the beginning of the story.
Well, or
there's no indication of that.
There's
an indication he
changes his mind
later.
No, because what does he say to him? Bahani, no. What do you mean? He says, you're supposed to have kids no matter what. And what? And what God wants to do, He can do. Meaning, you saw the future, but if God wants to change it, He can. So you do what you're supposed to, and God will do it. No, no, God. No, it means God can change the future. You do what you're supposed to, and God will change it.
The same thing is saying for this
No, it's not. It's just because you know that's happening doesn't mean it will happen. God will do what he wants.
God doesn't have to...
Right, which means it could change. Right? And now Chizkiah one ups him and says... Right? You just said that God can do what he wants, so why can't God heal me? Why? Because he said he was going to kill me, but he could also just change his mind. Who are you to tell God that I can't change the future? Right?
This is like getting into the free choice guy.
Right, but you understand what happened, right? Is that in the first half of the story, Chizkiah was saying you're supposed to leave the future up to God, and God can do what he wants. By the second half of the story, Yeshayahu was saying, but God already said it. And Chizkiah one-ups him and says, even if God said it, you don't have the right to say that it's not changing. Leave it up to God. Right? What?
Oh, I'm going to kill you. And then he's like, nah.
Well, but that's exactly what happens. Remember, he gets 15 years. Remember your shock?
He still kills him. Just in 15 years.
What?
He's not objectively telling him.
No, that's a terrible... That is a terrible read. I'm sorry. The guy is already middle-aged, right? And this is like the ancient world. 15 years... 15... I'm sorry. 15 years is a lot. Right? Not for you. If I said you have 15 years left to live, you'd die when you're my age. Right? God, I mean, right? God forbid. Right? If you tell someone who's, you know, 80, you got 15 more years, he's like,
okay.
I mean, geschmack. Right? Like,
you have two.
Right? But it reminds me once when I was in yeshiva, at one of these, you know, these question and answers that we have, right? So they do this at all yeshiva, and people always ask weird questions like that, the Masara. So one of my friends asked at one of these panels, and he said, if you knew that you had exactly 6 months to live, what would you do? Okay, that's what he asked the Ramim. Right, he asked all the Ramim, right? If you had 6 months left to live, what would you do? Right?
I'll be like, well, I could die tomorrow.
So what?
I would say I could die tomorrow. So I don't know how long.
So Rav Mordechai Friedman is very deadpan sense of humor, right? So he's like, I have 6 months left to live. So yeah. So he's like, aha. So I'm invincible for 6 months,
exactly.
Right? He's like, I got it, right? So he's like, so I would go and find all the terrorists, right? And I would take care of them because I'm invincible for 6 months, right? You know, so you always got to like, you've got to be very careful about what exactly you just asked, right? Yeah.
There's actually a kid's book based on that, about like a princess who says she's going to die, like a Sleeping Beauty type thing. So she's
gonna die
when she's 18, and then she just, like, first 18 years of life, she goes around killing dragons.
Right, yeah, so there you go. Yeah, there you go. Right? Right, so you get these, right? Now, so what you end up getting, though, is a flip, right? What you have to realize in the story is that there is this sort of flip, right, about who has hope that things can change. Now, this forces you to go to the story and say, oh, wait a second. Okay. If that's the case, right? If that's the case, then what? If there's that dramatic of a flip, what must be going on? What must the Gemara be trying to illustrate to you?
They both convinced
each other. They didn't convince, meaning, no. Well, it's not that they both convinced each other. Why should Yeshayahu, right? I mean, maybe they just flipped, switched spots. That's a little bit weird, right? What it could be, but it could also be that what? That there's something Yeshayahu believes that, right? And there's something Chizkiah believes, and they have, right? The Gemara is putting two different worldviews in conversation, right? And using Chizkiah and Yeshayahu as the mouthpiece, right? Highlighting it with this paradox, right? Now, so what? Now, there are many suggestions. We'll get to Rav Kook's in a minute, but it seems to me that when you actually notice the structure of the Gemara, it's hard to not see. What Gemara is trying to do is present two different worldviews, right? Including a shift within Chizkiyahu's, right? But even at that point, somehow Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu, right? Right, because they both represent some worldview, and many of the thinkers on this Gemara, right, that's what they try to explain. So let's try a few. We'll see. It'll probably take us more a week. We'll see. Because he refuses to have kids. Because he knows that his son is going to... In the Gemara, not in the Pesukim, but yes. Right? Okay. Now, there is one more point. He keeps getting me water, which is very nice, but I don't want him to miss. Now, thank you. But but before we get to that worldview question, there is one more point that we need to make, which is very important here, which is, what is the unspoken, once you've introduced this Gemara, right, and this whole story, what's the unspoken conclusion of the Gemara? Remember, what does the Gemara assume that you know going into the story?
How is the original Gemara?
Right, the end of the story. And what is the end of the story?
So,
that one of his tefillot is answered and one isn't. That he lives, but his son does not become good. Right? Right? So the backstory here is that, yet not only are there two different worldviews, but b'sofo shel davar, there are two different outcomes. One of them is changed, and one of them is not. Right? Very good, right? So it's not just you have to analyze the different worldviews, you need to figure out, yeah, why is it, what is the impact of it that in the end of the day, right, one tefillah works and one, right, does not. Right, so you see what happens, right, that there is this, right, now the Gemara doesn't actually deal with the question, right? The Gemara is just sort of hanging in the background, right? But it's important to realize that, like, the part of the drama is to realize that one of these gets answered and one of them really doesn't. Yeah.
Or it's just that either story can be interpreted another way.
What do you mean?
The two worldviews of the prayer being about his death or his son. Does one story point in the
direction
one points the other?
No, meaning there's two things going on here, right? He's trying to change his own death through tefillah, and he's trying to prevent Menashe from becoming evil by having him marrying Yeshayahu's daughter, right?
That's
the Gemara story. It's not in the Pesukim.
Oh, okay.
Right? In the Pesukim, he davens, right? That's true, right? And this is an elaboration of that.
Oh, no, but, what
well, it does, for him to survive. There's nothing about his kids, right? That's the complete edition of the Gemara. Okay. So what exactly is it? So I'll give you, we'll see if we get through both. We'll start with one. Okay, so once we're already on Feintuch, we'll continue on Feintuch. He's a fascinating, he's a scholar of Agarata. So he argues that Chizkiyahu's original position, he thinks, is essentially similar to the Gemara is using Chizkiyahu here to characterize the ancient Greek view that's found in the tragedies. Right? This was a theological view that floated around in the time of the Gemara. That you can't change prophecy. Right, what's the classic example in the Greeks? Oedipus, thank you. Oedipus. Right, Oedipus. Spelled with an O. Oedipus, right? Well, what happened to the story of Oedipus?
He tries to change the prophecy.
He tries to evade, right, his fate of being killed by his son. Right, he's told that his son will kill him and marry his mother. Right? So he sends away his son, and what ends up happening is his son doesn't know him, doesn't recognize him, kills him as a mother, exactly. Right?
It's called the Jocasta complex.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Right? And at some level, right, Chizkiyahu, right, takes this, represents this view in the Gemara, right, that nothing can ever change it. And what does Yeshayahu tell him? Well, actually, before that, Chizkiyahu takes this farther. It's not just you can't change the future, that
actually working to change the future is still working.
Right, that you have to, like, it's the opposite of, right? It's like, right, if the only way that I can stop the future is by ending the future, right, then I should do it, right? Meaning it's basically, you're right, I can't have a kid and have him not kill me, right? But I could not have a kid, right? Right? It's basically, there is a way to change the future, and that's by not having a future, right? That's basically his...
Yes,
right? Right? I can avoid fate if I just don't have it. But what does Yeshayahu, right? What does Yeshayahu tell him? Right? What does Yeshayahu tell him? Right? And Yeshayahu here comes to introduce a different theology, which is... Right. Right. Exactly. Right. Which is Yeshayahu comes and says, that's not true. The future isn't sealed. Right? The future isn't sealed. Well, okay, fine. You're right. I take it back. Yeshayahu's worldview that he introduces is the world, the future may be sealed, but you have to act as if it isn't. Right? And what does Chizkiyahu come and say? No, 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 no. If I have to act, then that must prove that what?
That it isn't.
Exactly. Right? So you have basically three worldviews. That you have the king who says, there's fate, and I can avoid fate by not doing anything. Yeshayahu says it's something like, there is fate, but you have to live your life as you're obligated to do, regardless of fate. And Chizkiyahu says... Right now introduces a third worldview, which is, if I have to act, then that must mean there is no fate. Right? Right?
Wait, you said the first thing was the king?
What?
You said the three first was the three.
It's Chizkiyahu, Yeshayahu, Chizkiyahu. Right? Meaning, yeah. That's essentially what's happening, is that Yeshayahu is not changing his view. His view is the future, at least to some level, is set, but you have to do what you're supposed to do anyways. And Chizkiyahu goes from one extreme to the other, which is you can't change the future, and therefore you should try to prevent the future from happening, right? To, if I have to act, it must be the future is not set in stone, right? And so here, Feinzoch has a very nice point, which is that the Gemara, in the end of Makor in the Yerushalmi, has a fascinating comment. And it goes like this. Rav Pinchas says that they went to wisdom and said, what should happen to a sinner? And wisdom said, evil pursues them, they're going
to
die. Yes, wisdom personified.
Oh, that's
yes.
Very Greek.
It's very Greek. Yes. Then the Gemara says they asked prophecy, nevuah, personified. What is the punishment of a sinner? And it said,
who's asking?
They. It. Whatever. Right? So they go, it's Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says, what did the Navi say? The soul who sins should die. Right? The Torah was asked, what is the punishment for a sinner? And it said,
yes.
Bring a karban and he'll get kapara. Okay? And what did God say? Then they went and asked God. And God said, do tshuva and it'll be fine. Right? Now, this is a very fascinating Gemara, because what is it saying? What is the Gemara saying? That at some level, the view of prophecy is that things are set, right? Exactly. Right? That someone sinned, that's it. There's no changing the future, right? But God, right, exactly. And that Gemara is basically saying that a God, right? And that's exactly what happens in this Gemara, that Chizkiyahu says to Yeshayahu, take your nevuah and leave. Meaning, right? I'm going to God. You are the view of prophecy, which is that the future doesn't change. Once you know what's going to happen, because God told you, that's it.
Well, no, but that's not really what Chizkiyahu believes. He still believes that there is something which is going to happen, which God decided, but he knows that
he can change it.
He can change it, right.
Right? Now, I will point out that in Divrei Hayin Malachim, and Yeshayahu Menashe is just terrible, but in Divrei Hayamim, right, as bad as Menashe is, what does he do at the end of his life? He davens and he does tshuva and davens to God to save him. What does God do? Yes, exactly. He somewhat listens to him, right? Which means that what? So here's the interesting question, right? Is that on the one hand, this might tell you that he learned the lesson from his father that you can change. It might also mean that what? At some level. At some level, maybe Yeshayahu's tefillah was answered. Meaning his son was bad, but he did some sort of paltry tshuva, which shows that...
That was he learning through his father, through his
father.
Exactly, right? So he might have learned from the other, but also might show that there was a, right? There was a change.
Wait, why does Menashe go along with that?
What?
Why does
Menashe go along?
Well, that's part of the discussion tomorrow, right? Because not enough tshuva, whatever.
Not enough,
right?
Tshuva.
Yes.
Isn't it tshuva before your deathbed, like,
No.
No?
No.
I mean, it's not good.
No. It depends.
Right?
Now, it is, right? Now, it is. No, it's fine. Just stay. Just stay. It's fine. No, no, stay. No, no, but I want you to finish. We're finishing now. It's fine. Right? Because it's time for the zichat, whatever. So, well, we're going to have to continue this next week. But, right? If this analysis is right, then we have another. There's another element to this Gemara, which is that, remember, why is the Gemara telling you this story? So at some level, it might be trying to explain how it came to be that Menashe ends up doing tshuva. Right? And this Gemara may not just be jumping off to teach you about different worldviews about fate, right, and the ability to change the future. It might also be at some level trying to explain to you, right. Part of, right, remember, one of the goals of Midrash is to fill in the gaps. It might be trying to fill in the gap of how did it happen that the worst of all kings does some sort of tshuva.
Is this one next to one about tshuva?
What?
Is this
one? No, the Divrei Hayam says he do tshuva. This doesn't come up in the Gemara here. What?
Oh,
no. Okay. Now, so I get, well, we'll continue next week, but I, just, again, we're not going to get through everything in this story. The two things I want to definitely do, though, next week is the following. One is I want to see Rav Kook, because Rav Kook, like Feintuch, argues that what's clearly going on in the Gemara is the Gemara, regardless of its connection to the historical Yishayon and Chizkiyahu, is trying to present two types of worldview, but for him, is the difference between the vision of Malchut and Nevuah. Right? For Rav Kook, as we'll see, he thinks it's not about Yeshayahu versus Chizkiyahu, really. It's about the model of leadership and theology that's represented by the institution of prophecy versus that which is the institution of Malchus, right? And the second thing I want to see is, because we've been doing this a lot this year, is the version of this story in the Yerushalmi. Because what we've done so far is the version in the Bavli, right? Where the framing is about Chizkiyahu, and Menashe's tshuva is never mentioned, it's only hinted at. Or not even hinted at, we extrapolated it. In the Yerushalmi, the framing for the story is Menashe's tshuva.
Ooh.
Right? So you see that even though there's a similar story, the Yerushalmi starts with what is not mentioned explicitly in the Bavli.
I was thinking in the Yerushalmi.
Yeah, it's not in the Bavli. That's why I gave you the Rishalmi, to show you that the Rishalmi is a completely different version. So again, there's a lot more to the story. If all we get through next week is those two points, is Rav Kook and the Rishalmi, then that'll be great. If we get through more, even better. But I don't want to do more than 2 weeks on it, as much as I love this Agadah Tzedakah. It's great. But that's at least the beginning of this Rishalmi.